40 years after his death, recordings of comedian Lord Buckley are still turning up. His cult following is still hungry for his performances of classics, historical texts, and biblical stories in hipster lingo. From New York, independent producer John Kalish reports on how Buckley's admirers are keeping his memory alive.
Just about every Lord Buckley fan has a story about how they were frozen in their tracks the first time they heard the man. For many, it was listening to Buckley's version of Jonah and the Whale.
Now, when the great Lord has something he must have done upon the earth, he calls upon his favorite children to do it. So the great Lord put the sound on Jonah, says, I dig you, Jonah, I dig you, Jonah, I dig you, Jonah, because Jonah is the Lord's sweet boy. Jonah said, man, where is all that jazz music coming from anyway?
In the late 1950s, New York performance artist Steve Ben Israel got out of his car and called radio DJ Symphony Sid, who played the bit.
I got to a phone booth and I said, hello, Sid. Sid, what was that? What was Sid? Tell me, what was... He says, oh, that's Jonah and the Whale, Lord Buckley. He says, I gotta go. I said, no, no, Sid, you can't go. Where can I get a copy of that album? He said, Colony Record Store. And Sid, I gotta go. And I went right to the Colony Record Store, you know, and I walked in. There was one copy left. And I took it home and I listened to it all night, over and over and over.
Buckley recorded about a dozen comedy albums. Oliver Traeger has turned up quite a few of Buckley's unreleased recordings, including this version of the Gettysburg Address, complete with jazz accompaniment.
4 big hits and 7 licks ago, our before daddies swung forth upon this sweet, groovy land.
When my Buckley friends and I turn up this material, and there's a lot of serendipity and sleuth work combined that causes that to happen, it feels like we found a Van Gogh. That's the joy and the rush that we get from it. It's like, wow!
Traeger spent more than 10 years working on a Buckley biography titled Dig Infinity, which has just been published.
I sort of think of him as a hip version of Forrest Gump or Zelig, one of these ciphers that sort of passes through history that hung out and associated with the heaviest of the heavies. I had this kind of Mount Rushmore of hipness in my mind. And I see Coltrane, I see Charlie Parker, I see Lester Young, I see Lenny Bruce, I see Jesus, I see the Marquis de Sade, I see Gandhi, and I see Lord Buckley there too.
Jesus, the Marquis de Sade, and Gandhi, it turns out, were all subjects of Buckley bits. Jesus of Nazareth is the focus of what many consider Buckley's greatest rap, the Naz. Lord Buckley also did a hip version of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven and reinterpreted Shakespeare's funeral oration for Julius Caesar.
Hipsters, flipsters, and finger-popping daddies. Knock me your lobes. I came to lay Caesar out, not to hip you to him.
A fan in Seattle who was working on a documentary about Buckley also runs the LordBuckley.com website, which explains Buckley's hip terminology. Buckley explained his act to Studs Terkel at WFMT in November 1960, 3 months before Buckley died.
When you start to fool with these classics, you have the tremulous stature of an amateur architect goofing in the Taj Mahal, saying, now, there must be something I can do here. So it's a very dangerous work to begin with.
Some of Buckley's material was considered dangerous in the 1950s. One of his bits involved the song Georgia and a description of an horrific lynching. Buckley's one-time manager, Dick Zalud, recalls booking the comedian at a nightclub in Hollywood.
I said, look, these are very square, upper-crust people. Do not do any of the political humor or anything like that. And he did a bit on Georgia, which turned the audience completely off, and he was actually his own worst enemy.
It was almost like he made this big choice. He was thinking, I can go down this path and make it easy, or I can follow my muse.
Buckley biographer Oliver Traeger.
I think the muse was just playing a trombone in his ear so loudly he found it irresistible. From the late 40s through his death in 1960, it was real hole-in-the-wall jazz clubs after-hours joints, strip joints, of course, because those were the only people that would let him do the stuff.
Buckley fans include a number of comedic giants. Among those who have been influenced are Robin Williams, George Carlin, and Bill Cosby. Jonathan Winters met Buckley when both of them were performing in Las Vegas and listens to him today when he needs a shot in the arm.
I guess the term has come down through the years about a lot of us. You're too smart for the room. I guess for most rooms he might have been just that, too smart for the room.
All indications are that Buckley would have thrived had he lived to see the counterculture of the late 1960s. The comedian reportedly gave a 36-hour nonstop performance under the influence of LSD in 1959. Tom Calagna is one of the Buckley impersonators who have surfaced on three continents.
Had he lived to see the hippie thing, he would have been brought out on silk pillows at Woodstock. That's where it could have gone, but such is life.
Calagna says he'd love to play Lord Buckley on the silver screen, and biographer Oliver Traeger has written a screenplay. In the meantime, Calagna will be performing as Buckley at some of Traeger's upcoming book appearances. Traeger may stage another Lord Buckley birthday celebration next year. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.